This was a woman who had suffered before her passing here in the physical world.
Yes.
He's known for his truly unique form of communication.
Basically, my whole job is communication. It's putting people back in touch with their loved ones on the other side.
And when he says the other side, he quite literally means speaking to those who have passed away.
And he just said to me when I'm connecting Matt, he says, please let her know that even though you feel like you didn't get to have a proper goodbye with him here in this world, he says, I know how much you loved me.
Even with his upbeat and positive energy, it's a responsibility that he takes very seriously. Psychic medium Matt Frazier on The Pulse.
What's it like being Matt Frazier walking down the street?
I try to live a normal life, but I also realize it's my job to hear these voices.
Guys, welcome back to another episode of The Pulse. And this episode, it's cool to me because Matt Frazier, psychic medium, I saw you on another show saying, I talk to the dead, author, reality host, but, so you're not concerned about titles. But here with us, and I appreciate you coming back. And part of it was because very early on when we started the show, you're one of the people who came on with us when we didn't even really have a show. And since then, it has continued to grow. You're our most listened to podcast. So I wanted to thank you both for coming back, but for taking a chance on us before we really had a show and coming on.
Absolutely. I got to tell you, I love being here and I love doing podcasts like this because, first of all, I think that there's more people who want to know about their own loved ones, right? How to tap in, how to see the signs, how to know their loved ones are there. So thank you so much for having me on and let me share my gift.
Absolutely. We got a lot to talk about, but I was just watching you on another show. You were on our Good Day Philadelphia show, and you and I were talking before we started about the critics. And I just wanted to address it, and then we can move on, because some of the critics are so passionately opposed. And I was wondering your feelings about that, because it's one thing to not believe in your gift. It's another thing to take it as a personal affront, and I'm going to destroy you and come after you on social media. And how do you even address that?
Well, first of all, there's a really big difference between skeptics and non-believers, right? A skeptic is a person who isn't really sure what to believe. They're not sure if it's real, if there's an afterlife, if there is another side. But if they get a little piece of evidence, they might believe it based on what they're presented with, right? Okay. Where a non-believer is someone that, you know, says, I'm not going to believe no matter what, and neither should you. So the thing is that at the end of the day, I ask everyone to just come in and to be open, because I gotta be honest, I could not do what I do. I could not live life, I couldn't do my job, I couldn't be the happy person that I am if I didn't know that my loved ones were with me every single day. Like every single day, I know my grandmother's here, I know my grandfather's here, I know every single person that, you know, was lost in my life is here. Yeah. And to me, I'm able to function. I'm able to feel good. I'm able to continue living life without being in grief for that reason. And it pains me when I think that there's some people out there that don't believe that. They think that you just close your eyes and see black, that you don't live after this world. And to me, I just want to share that same feeling that I feel every day by showing people, listen, your loved ones are really there. You know, open yourself up. And it's not just a gift that I have. It's a gift that you have. You can open yourself up to the signs, to the senses, to the feelings, to all the things that are around you.
You know, it's interesting because I have always probably skeptically believed. It wasn't until my father passed away that there was more of a need to understand. I get what you're saying more now because I've been through that personal loss. You know, and the idea that that was it, you know, was kind of something that it haunted me. And talking to you before, there's a fox that was coming to visit our house that I had never seen before. And I talked to you about the video and we talked about whether or not that might be my dad. That fox continues to come back and visit. Interesting thing. So most people know you. For those who don't, tell us what psychic medium you talk to the dead, your author, you tour. Tell us what you do.
So I do exactly that. I speak to people who had passed on. So basically, my whole job is communication. It's putting people back in touch with their loved ones on the other side. And the reason why that's important is that so many times we lose a loved one and we have questions. We wonder if they're okay. Are they on the other side? How are they trying to reach me? And we also have questions where we wonder, you know, was it really them that visited me in the dream? Mm-hmm. You know, can I still get in touch with them? Will they be there when I walk down the aisle? You know, these are all questions that people have within their hearts. And when you lose a loved one, you go through a pain that you've never felt before within life. So as a medium, the souls use me as a bridge, really, to finish the conversation that maybe they didn't get to finish here in this world, and to show their loved ones that they're okay, and to also show you that you can still have a conversation with them. You know, they appear in dreams, signs, smells, anything that reminds you of a loved one is. You know, the secret is knowing that there's two worlds. There's our world, which is the physical world, and then there's the spirit world. So every day, your loved ones are trying to reach you. They can actually watch over you every day, but to get signs from you, they have to go and speak from their world into our world. And that's where the signs come in.
And this, you discovered this gift as a child. Now, we've talked about this before. I'd imagine as a child, that was creepy. Or was it just, okay, I got this?
No, it was scary. Okay. As a little boy, it was petrifying because every time I went to bed, I felt like I was channeling every dead person in the nearby area. And to me, I was so scared because I didn't know why I was sensing and feeling this. I had no idea what it was that was happening around me. And I remember being a little boy and being in my bed at night and yelling and screaming and crying for my mom just to make the voices stop because I was afraid. You know, imagine if all of a sudden you just woke up randomly and had a random person, you know, trying to talk to you and you're like, what is going on? That was me as a little boy.
I feel like I would just leave my house.
Right? That's exactly that. Like, that's exactly what I felt.
I'd be like, yo, I'm out. Like, you can have the house, I'm going.
I begged my parents to move because I thought that there was an issue with the house. I didn't realize in the beginning that it was a me issue. You know, I thought, I was convinced that the house was just haunted. There was something that had to do with the house until I realized that no matter where I went, you know, if a soul died in the nearby area, they were coming to me to speak.
So when did it become a gift and not, I don't want to call it a curse, but when did you start to understand, okay, this is not this scary thing. This is something that I can use to help people.
So my grandmother was a medium and my mom was a medium. But when I say that, they never did it professionally. They just could sense and feel things like I did. Mm-hmm. So they kept it a secret for many years. And, you know, they blocked out their own abilities. And I did the same thing for years and years and years. I wouldn't talk about this, wouldn't speak about it. I did everything that I could to just live a normal life. But I kind of got mixed up because I felt like I needed to be in the medical fields. Like, because I felt such a strong connection to other people, I could sense people's pain, I could feel people on a different level. So I started my career as an EMT, working for the World Trade Center in Boston, to be honest with you, for the Security Operations Department. And it was around that time that I was older, I had grown up, that I went to go and see a medium for the first time myself. I wanted to see somebody who is actually living life and using this gift, since all I did was run from it or push it away. Yeah. So I went to see a medium and it changed my life because at that moment I realized, oh my God, I could do this too. I can use this gift to help people to heal just in a different way.
How's it work? Because I've seen, you know, and I mean, I don't know that there is a scientific, here's how it happens. They call me on, you know, but even with me, and you've read me in the past, and there were things that you said to me that were so specific that they brought tears to my eyes immediately. And people were saying, well, did you ever post that on social media? Did you ever talk to people about it? You must know Matt behind the scenes. And I was like, no, no, kinda, no. And then there was other stuff that was like, that's kind of a connection, but not as specific. How's it work like that? It's not like you're not getting for every person, okay, I have this message for that person and here's the specificity of it. How's it work?
So it depends on your connection with that soul's connection with you, and it also depends on how that soul communicates, right? Okay. There's some souls that come in that are really strong communicators that will tell me their name, how they had died, you know, where they last, what they last remember, what they last ate before they died. I mean, they'll give me very specific details. Where there's other souls that may be soft-spoken or maybe didn't live, you know, as colorful of a life here in this world. You know, so it all depends on that soul, how that soul speaks and how that soul comes through. So some souls are really easy to hear. For example, if you had a mother who was really, really loud and vivacious and her personality was really strong, she's going to come through really easy on the other side. But if you had a father that was really quiet, soft-spoken, didn't say much here in this world, was really reserved, that's going to be a soul that I struggle with talking to. Can I still do it? Absolutely, right? Okay. But your loved ones don't change on the other side. They are who they are. So, you know, some souls are oversharers, some souls are undersharers, you know, and that's what you have to remember is that the person that you're talking to might be dead, but they're still a person. They're still in control of their own personality and how they speak and how they communicate.
That's got to be really hard doing a room, because you go on tour, you know, and you do one-on-ones with people, but you could be in a room with, what, 1,000 people? Thousands of people? With all of these folks wanting someone to speak specifically to them. Like, that's got to be hard. Or is it just, I don't know, empowering?
You know, it's empowering and it's a race, because my whole job is I want to get to as many people as I possibly can. And I know that people come to me for answers. I know that people come to me because they want to hear from a specific loved one. And I know that they come to me because they're in grief or in some sort of pain. So during each show, my whole goal is to get to as many people as possible to really make sure that everyone that's there feels some sort of connection, because it's more than just a reading. Anytime we're connecting with the soul on the other side, it's also a learning opportunity. We learn about what happens when you die. We learn about what happens when we take our final breath, what the death and dying process is like. And we also learn a lot from the other side. It's how I've written my books, you know. Yeah. I don't know everything there is to know about death and dying, but when I connect with the spirits will oftentimes show me certain moments of their life and certain key things. Like, for example, anytime I do a reading, I get a glimpse into heaven. And from that, I've gotten little glimpses into what heaven looks like, what it feels like, how the souls communicate. And I take all that information, I put it into my books, and I also share it with you.
We Never Die, Secrets of the Afterlife. That was the last book, because you have another one coming out.
I have a brand new one coming out, yes.
Very shortly. That one, We Never Die, Secrets of the Afterlife. That's kind of some of that glimpse that you're sharing with people.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a glimpse up till now, because I don't know everything that there is to know about death and dying. I'll never know until one day I die. But every single day, I'm learning something new. Like, I've learned so much more since that book was even published, which is the reason why I keep writing book after book after book. You know, the thing is that with every conversation, you learn more. But We Never Die is what I've learned up to the point of writing that book. So in that is the questions that people have been really wanting to ask a psychic medium like myself. Like, what happens if you don't make it to the other side? What happens if, you know, you had a child that passed away? What happens if you didn't get to say goodbye? What happens if your loved one in spirit wasn't at peace before they passed? You know, these are all the questions that I try to answer in the book to really give people an outlook on how your loved ones are living life now.
And these are all multiple bestsellers. So clearly people have these questions. What's it like being Matt Fraser walking down the street? And people, because like, do you feel, people are constantly on both sides, constantly communicating with you. But I'm guessing you don't walk down the street going, wait, what? Excuse me, and grab that person and talk to them? Or do people expect that from you?
You know, it's actually funny. So my family and my close friends always know when I'm reading someone or getting information, right? Because like, it'd be at a family party or a get together or whatever it may be, and I'll see like my family members like just like staring at me and be like, oh, here he goes again, here he goes. Because, you know, I always receive information at different times. So the thing is that there is no turning off. So for me, you're going to remember that it's not just souls are always there talking. It's when a soul has a message. So if I'm walking down the street and there's a soul that's there that needs to reach their mom or their dad or their sister or whoever, they're going to use me to do so. I try to live a normal life, but I also realize it's my job to hear these voices. So I'm going to listen when they talk to me. Although it's funny because there are no boundaries or customer service hours when it comes to the spirit world, right? Doesn't matter if I'm in the on the toilet, in the shower, in bed, if there is a message that's coming through, it's coming through.
That's a lot. Like that's a lot. So you're on tour. I mean, you're pretty much always on tour, but you're on tour right now in our local area, but going all around the country. What's a Matt Fraser event look like?
It's literally like a family reunion with heaven. What's so cool is that I could be doing events back to back to back for 3 days, and every single event be entirely different, be an entirely different experience, because it all depends on what souls show up. So one event you might attend, and it might be really sad and really emotional and really pull at the heartstrings because you had a lot of people pass in tragic ways. And then the very next night be a totally different experience of, you know, being fun and uplifting and, you know, cheerful. But what I love the most is that every single event is unexpected, and it's literally a roller coaster of emotions. And because of that, I do see people attend night after night. And there have been times where one person might attend one night and hear from their mom, and the next day hear from their brother. And I think that that's a really cool connection as well.
So who should come? like people who are eager to get the readings, the skeptics, like who do you want in the audience at your show?
Can I be honest?
Yes.
I want the skeptics to be there.
Do you really?
I love the skeptical ones because I think that those are the people that need to hear the message the most, right? The people who come to me that are like, oh man, I know my mom is here. Oh my God, let me share with you the signs. I sense my mom, I get dreams of her, I feel her, I smell her. You know, that's a person that's already healed. That's a person who's already in communication with their loved one in spirit. But what about the person who's closed off? What about that person who doesn't think that there's an afterlife? What if I can be the person to change them?
So you want the skeptics, even though you're talking to them in front of a very public crowd, in front of them on TV sometimes, you still want that person. Like that to me speaks to an extreme level of confidence in your gift. You're like, challenge me and do it publicly. And you enjoy that.
I love it. Because the thing is that when it comes to the skeptics and the non-believers, right? I know that, listen, some people might still walk out and not believe. Some people might say, oh, well, he could have looked this up, or maybe he did, or maybe this, or maybe that. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's going to be those people that their lives will be forever changed. And that's what I live for. That's what keeps me ticking. Because the thing is, when you're going to realize how a skeptic operates, right? Mm-hmm. Or a non-believer, I should say. A non-believer is a person. That same person who's a non-believer in a psychic medium that doesn't believe, says, oh, there's no such thing as the heaven or the afterlife, or he's not doing that, or he's not talking to the dead, is that same person that will go to the doctor, right? Have blood taken from them. The doctor will come back with the results and be like, hey, listen, you need to lose weight. You're at risk for, you know, a heart attack, stroke, this, that, the other thing. And the person will say, the doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. No, I'm fine. No, that doctor doesn't know anything. That's a non-believer. So you're not going to change that person, even when facts are presented. So I understand that. But the thing is that you still have to do your job. You still have to present the facts, and you still have to do the best that you can to try to help that person, much like a doctor would.
With all of this information and talking to other people and other people's loved ones, I was asked, when we were doing research for you coming on the show, I was asked, is Matt afraid of death? What's Matt's outlook on his life moving forward? See, so, I'm sure someone's asked you that before.
Actually, no, nobody ever has.
Oh, okay, we're brilliant.
I think they just assume it.
Oh, sorry.
I am personally not afraid of death. But you know what I think about often is doing the work that I do, I have a very different outlook on if I were to pass away. I think about my family. I think about the people who are here in this world. Because when you pass on, when you go to the other side, you're at a place of peace. Right? You're at peace. You're able to watch over your loved ones every day. You're able to be a part of their life. You really don't leave them. But the sad part is that the people here in this world, those are the people who go through grief. So that's what most scares me about death, is that I've seen so many people who have stopped their lives just because a loved one had passed away, and I never want my family to have to go through that.
See, it really is true then. Like the quotes and everything we always say at funerals, the way that we start to heal. You know, guys, this is about us. They're fine. Like, they're in a better place. You've got to get on with your life. That's the whole basis of how you believe. But the difference is, you know it. A lot of us are trying to get there. Is that kind of how that works?
I mean, kind of. I mean, the thing is that when you go through grief, right, even if you're a psychic medium, believe it or not, right, mm-hmm. even if you go through a psychic medium, we're human. And the thing is that we all process grief differently. Like, for example, I'll share, I've had psychics and mediums come to me who are really distraught after losing a loved one. And they're like, Matt, I don't understand. Like, I talk to the dead. I have this gift. I know that there's another side. I know that there's an afterlife. But since my mom died, I just started questioning things.
Yeah.
And that happens. It's part of us being human, right? So you can have the most faith here in this world, but grief takes a toll on you, and we can't prevent what we feel. Because even if you know there's a heaven and an afterlife, there's still a piece of you that misses that physical presence.
Right.
So, you know, it's a journey that begins after a loved one passes. And it's different for everybody.
Multiple best-selling books, the TV shows. You got married. I feel like you were married when you came last time, weren't you? Or is that new? Or
oh,
were you
no,
just
I was.
Going
yes.
through the
yes,
process?
I was.
So you were married before. You had not had a child before.
Not yet, no.
Okay, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Now tell us a little bit about that. How's the whole family life now? And I feel like we saw Meet the Frasers, you know, but how's the whole family life going now?
I got to tell you, it's something that I can't even explain. It's so much better than I could ever just imagine. I mean, it's the piece that was missing in my life. It really, really? Was. And, you know, I got to tell you that it's a different type of love. And I mean, this is something that people have told me beforehand, like, wait till you have a kid, wait till you have a kid. It's a different type of love. And I never knew what that meant. Like, I'm like, okay, yeah, all right, yeah, I get it, I get it. And then, you know, when you have a kid, it just opens up your heart to just a piece that you never knew that you had.
Yeah. Would you want your child to have this gift?
Oh, that's a tough question. That's a really tough question. You know, I don't know. I don't know at this point. Now, it's hard to tell because, like, when children are younger, they all, like, all children have experiences where they can see and hear the departed. So I know that my son gets visitations from spirits. Now, of course, he's going to forget about this when he gets older. Mm-hmm. And not all children will hold on to that gift or have that gift. The some that very do, like myself, the very little that do are the ones that are known as psychic kids as we get older. But to be honest with you, I would like to see for him to make that decision and if he embraces it.
Okay, so it is, as much of a gift as it is, it's a lot to carry.
It is a lot to carry. Mm-hmm. It is a lot to carry, and, you know, I know a lot of people who are psychic and mediums, and, you know, they've gone on to do other careers because even though they have this gift and they can sense and feel things, it's really overwhelming because you sense and feel people on a different level. You see, for example, when I do a reading, it's not just about that reading, right? It's about the person's last moments. And a lot of times you're put into very tragic things. If someone's murdered, you're watching how they got murdered. Or somebody passed and, you know, they died tragically, you're experiencing that. And I can actually feel what people have gone through when I do these readings.
What does it feel like whenever you've been on with us, and this goes back years, I always feel like we're kind of sitting in that moment waiting to say, okay, do you feel anything right now? But you rarely, it's not like you, at least that I haven't seen, you don't interrupt the discussion and say, hey, so-and-so is trying to talk to me, or hey, you know, does it ever get to be a lot when people are asking you, okay, now go? You know, or is there time when you're being interviewed and you're like, I really wanted to say something, but I don't know if it's appropriate in this moment?
Oh, well, listen, if there's a message, I'm saying it, whether it's appropriate or not. I mean, I've gotten in trouble for that a lot of times. So that being said, I'm not afraid to speak my voice. But I'll tell you this, is that because it's a lingering type of thing, you know, is that the souls that are there won't stop talking until I get them, let the message be heard. But I got to tell you, the thing is that when it comes to mediumship, a lot of people still have, you know, misrepresentations of how it works. So, for example, you might come to see a psychic medium because you want to talk to a specific loved one.
Right.
But you got to know that when you come to a medium, it's actually the opposite. There's actually souls on the other side that want to reach you. So, you know, what happens is that it's not like you can just say, okay, go. Because the thing is that there has to be a soul that wants to speak to you. For example, I can never guarantee a reading, whether it be a private reading or whether it be a reading that's in person because or a group reading, because it all depends on the souls that are there. I can't make your dad come through or your mom come through the same way that I can't make my own loved ones come through. I would love to have conversations with my loved ones every single day. Every single day, I wish that I could hear messages from my own loved ones. Do I hear messages from them? Yes, but not every day. They only come through when they have a message for me, when there's something big that's going on in my life, something that I might need to hear from them, a little pep talk, whatever it may be, that's when they come in, and that's the truth of it.
It's not like a phone. It's not like you can sit there and be like, hey, so-and-so wants to talk to you. Let me go ahead and holler at them and call real quick. It has to happen. So for people who are watching, there are people in the room here off camera. If anything comes to you, feel free to interrupt, and we will go with it. I'm going to continue on with the discussion, but if it exists, go with that.
Well, I actually was just doing readings downstairs, and it was crazy I was doing readings before this episode, and downstairs there was a bunch of people who worked at the station that was lined up. And it's crazy because once you start channeling, like, those souls, they don't just, like, leave you alone. Like, even, like, right now, like, some of the souls that I'm hearing from downstairs are still up here with me. Yeah. Believe it or not.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's so... There's not a lot that leaves me at a loss for words, but you sit back and try to interpret what that must be like and your positive energy as you go through it. And I gotta tell you, like, that still feels terrifying to me. Like, even if I believe people are having positive messages and sharing them, like, I just wonder if I'm sitting here interviewing you and then I'm like, wait, what? What? You know, and trying to go, like, that's a lot. So there are still people just kind of lingering, trying to share messages.
That's exactly it, because I haven't left the building yet. So when I leave the building, they'll stay here, luckily. But the thing is that you got to know that, you know, for example, the way that it works is that I don't get It's not terrifying to me because when I see the souls are at peace. So it's not like you see on television, like when you go and you see someone who was murdered or who was killed and they're looking, you know, they're trying to reach out to a medium because they don't have peace. It's not like that. The souls that I talk to have peace, and that's why they're coming through.
Okay. You have another book coming out.
Yes.
Okay. Don't Wait Till You're Dead. The title itself has 1,000 questions, but tell us about this one. Why did you decide? I mean, you're continuing to update books, but what's this one for?
So there's a little known thing that happens when you die. Immediately after death, there's something that's known as the life review that we all go through. So when we leave this world, our soul, there's this tunnel of void light that opens, and our soul goes through this tunnel, and we enter into what's called a life review. So during your life review, you go through this entire look back on your life. You see why you were put here on this earth. You see, you know, who your friends were, who your enemies were, why they were your enemies, the people that helped you, the people that hurt you, the good things that you did, the bad things that you did, why you met certain people, right? Some of the challenges that you went through and their meaning. And you also see the gifts that you were given in life, the lessons that you were supposed to learn, the things that you failed at, the things that you did good at, right? And everything in between. And this life review is the most emotional, most amazing thing that we all go through. And it's during this life review that we look back on our life and we say, wow, oh my God, I can't believe that this is what I was meant to do. I can't believe I did this, 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 and this, or that, you know, my soulmate was this person. I mean, there's so much that happens in it. You meet your soulmate, you meet your guardian angel, you meet your spirit guide, you learn why they were with you on your journey. And I wrote this book because it's during this life review that people realize, or souls realize, the things that they should have done differently here in this world. Oh my God, I shouldn't have had that grudge. Oh my God, I should have forgave my dad long ago. Oh my God, I shouldn't have been so afraid. I shouldn't have had those limiting self-beliefs. This would have mattered if I did this, 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 and this. And it's not until they go through that life review that our soul changes. And it's the reason why this life review is so important, because it's the reason why souls are at peace on the other side. So the biggest message that I hear from spirit is that if we could look back on our life, right, from start to finish, while we're still alive, and there's things that we knew that we could change, would we do them? So this book is all about that. It's about recognizing what you're going through in life right now with advice from the spirit world, with the souls that have already gone through that. So whether you're going through a challenge, whether you're going through a health scare, whether you're going through just uncertainty in your life, this is a way that you can look back now with the advice from spirit and change things in your life now.
To learning from experience, even of people who have passed on.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. There's a quote, I think it was Les Brown, that was like, the graveyard is the richest place on earth, because that's where all of these dreams, goals, ideas all went and got buried with people. It feels like it's kind of that, like get the opportunity to act on these things before it's too late.
Absolutely. And not to mention, realize that there's still time to make a change. Like so many people think that, oh, I'm too old, or that'll never happen for me, or, you know, I'm going to go this route because there's no chance I'm going to make it this route, right? And the thing is that we're all here on our own journey. And what I've learned from the other side is that heaven and the spirit world shares with me that it doesn't matter if you have a 1% chance of making it to a certain goal or dream or desire. If it's meant for you, it's going to happen. So don't be afraid of it. Pursue it.
I have a couple more, and we can sit here and talk all day. And I know you've got a lot of people who want to talk to you. So a handful more, and we will wrap up. Holiday season is always tough for people. It's tough for me. It's tough for people who have lost loved ones, as I have. Is there any kind of message that you can share with people? Because I feel like everyone this time of year is kind of sitting back, reflecting, missing, trying to find some kind of hope and calm.
So the one thing is that when you lose a loved one and you're going through the holiday season, the best way to sense them, to feel them, and to connect with them is really by going and just acknowledging them. I think that so many times people are afraid to talk about their loved ones during the holiday season because they're afraid of getting emotional, they're afraid of crying, they're afraid of bringing them up because it might feel weird around other family members. Where that's the most important time. You know, holidays are not just about spending time with the living, but it's also about remembering the people that once were supposed to be at the table with you. So the more that you talk about them and remember them and share stories about them, you do two things. You allow yourself to bring them into the moment with you. But two, you allow their spirit to come into the moment with you. because you have a calling card to heaven. Anytime that you think of a loved one, whether you do it subconsciously without even thinking about it, or whether you do it purposefully, you bring your loved ones close to you. So when you say, oh my God, I wish that my mom was here right now, or I wish that my dad could see this, or I really hope that grandma sees this, what you're actually doing is you're going and you're sending a text message to heaven. There's this little notification that just gets sent to the other side that says, hey, your son's thinking about you, your daughter's thinking about you. So that's one of the things that I want to share with people is that, you know, people think that there's no way to get into contact with your loved one when the key is you.
So it's not then healing the whole get over it concept. You're saying the exact opposite. Let them know you're thinking about them, loving them, feeling them.
So I gotta tell you, I hate that saying, let it go, or, you know, get over it, right? Because to me, there is no such thing as letting go. The only thing that you should let go of is the hurt, the pain, and the emotional feelings that are surrounding that loved one's passing. So to me, it's not about letting go, but it's about keeping in touch. Keeping in touch with your loved ones as though that they're still here in this world. Keeping in touch with their spiritual presence. Keeping them a part of your life. Just because you lost your mom or your dad doesn't mean that you have to live life without them. You can live life in a different way, and that's what I teach.
I got three more things, two and a closing statement. Your message to critics.
So my message to critics is this: come and experience an event. Try it. Open your mind. See what's there before you judge. Because I've had so many people, and you know, I've been able to convert many skeptics into believers, so many. And the thing is that, you know, everybody walks in and they're not sure. If you're not sure, come and experience it. Because like you said, Bill, the hardest thing is when you first lose a loved one, right? That's the hardest thing that you can go through. And I think that most people will say, oh, I don't believe, or I'm not sure, or most people won't look into it until they lose a loved one.
Yeah.
And that's the number one thing that I see all the time is that people don't come to me until they lose a loved one and they're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to give it a chance. And I got to tell you, when people realize that there's just another way to communicate with, you know, through death, it just changes their life. They immediately feel peace because they know that, you know, their loved one truly isn't gone. And there's a promise that's there that we're going to see them again.
Message then, you've already kind of done it. That was the message to critics. Message to the believers, particularly during this time of year.
Keep believing. Belief is everything. Everything. Believe in yourself. Believe in your connection with the other side. And believe that your loved ones are guiding you and with you. It's not just a belief that they're there, but I want people to really believe that, you know, your loved ones have good intentions for you. And they are also helping you on the other side. I've seen it happen so many times in readings where, you know, somebody might be down on their luck here in this world. And there is a such thing as divine intervention. There is a such thing where all of a sudden you might have a loved one that's down on their luck. And then all of a sudden there's a grandmother in spirit that helps them either find their soulmate or get back on their feet or whatever it may be. And that's one of the things that I just think is so beautiful because life is hard. It's really hard. And you know, it's hard to think about what lies in the future for us. But here's the one thing that always keeps me calm, is that anytime I'm stressed or I'm nervous or life feels overwhelming, I think that I have loved ones, spirit guides, and angels that are there with me in heaven, that can see tomorrow so much more clearly than we can even see yesterday. And to me, that brings me comfort. And I'm hoping that that brings the people listening comfort as well, because when you're like, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen, well, you don't have to know. Your loved ones in spirit do.
You can see him touring all over the country. You can get the books. Another one's coming out, not for several months, but you can get on, you know, get ready for it. Get those notifications. They'll let you know when they're coming out.
Yeah, the pre-orders.
Yeah, get the pre-orders going. We end every episode of The Pulse with the concept of use your voice for good. Everybody who has come into this room, we ask them, what does the phrase use your voice for good mean to them? What's it mean to you?
It means speak your truth. If you know something that can help the world, that can help others, that can be a positive influence, use it.
Simple. Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming back.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Guys, thanks so much for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson. Today with psychic medium Matt Frazier. Listen, I am clear that what Matt does, it leads to a lot of passionate responses, both pro and con. But I appreciate the fact that Matt continues to come back. He continues to answer the questions. He continues to offer what he does to people and answer any of the critics in the best way that he can. I respect that. I appreciate the fact that he believed in us as our show was just getting started and now continues to come back. He is a friend of the show, and I hope that you enjoyed it as much as we did. A reminder, hit subscribe right there at the top of your phone, iPad, tablet, whatever it is you're listening to this on. Get a notification every Monday when another episode comes out. You can see us on YouTube. And also, I want to remind all of you who have connected TV. That's Roku, that's Apple TV, that's Fire TV. Go in there, hit search for Fox Local, and download the Fox Local app. That way, you can watch our shows at your fingertips anytime, both live and recorded. So make sure you check that out. I leave you today, as I always do. That was a dramatic pause as I get myself together. We've dealt with a lot on today's show. Do you hear that? That was... And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.